this was probably the biggest moment that I'd ever thrown myself into. And I just remember day one, standing in front of a whole bunch of new people, me telling them that we've now taken over the business, because it really is a journey. It's a journey for our clients and it's a journey for our staff. Everyone is on the same page with the values, then the journey should be relatively smooth. Once I got in front of them, I had a very good chance of closing, but getting in front of them was probably the biggest challenge. Find out what they want to do, find out what motivates them and help them achieve that. And I think what you'll find is that they'll reward themselves for actually doing what they want to do. It will be a day that I remember for the rest of my life, I can assure you.
Welcome to the show, Dion Besser.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's amazing to have you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Have you made any New Year's resolutions?
Over the break, you know, and I was fortunate enough to get a couple of weeks off this year. And for me, it's never really weeks off. You know, it's always about planning the next year. For me, I think it's really getting back to the values, you know, work-life balance and making sure my team have that as well. Because the last couple of years coming out of COVID, I think things have changed quite significantly. And I think just revisiting some of those core values, I think that's my challenge for this year.
Yeah, it always feels like, you know, when you come back fresh, it's like almost like, okay, blank page, let's go again kind of thing.
Oh, can I tell you, it's unfortunately never a blank page for me. It's always a very full page, and it's where do I start?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of starting, you've actually started to contribute a bit to Elite Agent Magazine, and you've written a couple of articles that have gone really well. So that's why I thought, let's get you on the podcast and talk about some of the things that cool things that you've been doing with Investor & Co. Let's go back to the beginning a little bit, because I know you've practiced real estate all over the world, London, Australia, that sort of thing. So let's go to the beginning of Besser & Co, which I believe was 2009. What was your thinking when you started your own agency?
You know, I had the great fortune of working for some amazing people up until I opened Besser & Co. And in some cases, you know, I learned what not to do as much as I had learned what to do. And I had the fortune of working in smaller agencies. I had the fortune of working in franchises and also some of those bigger boutique agencies. And really, by the time I got to the age of 27, I'd really seen quite a wide range of different management styles, different types of real estate businesses from London to Melbourne and surround. So, you know, what brought me to opening up my own business, I think what I was trying to achieve is bringing something a little bit more genuine back to real estate. You know, I had a lot of training and the fortune of training with some of the best real estate mentors and coaches in Australasia. And I found that things were very, very scripted. And I think the scripts are really important, by the way. We love scripts and dialogues. But I think what we had lost, or what we, in some agencies, they had lost that genuine desire to provide good quality advice.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I thought what was interesting too is the stuff about not just bringing something different to the table, but also sort of, you know, talking about transparency and the need, where some agents sort of like to keep a bit of cloak and smoke and mirrors, or I was going to say cloak and daggers, but that's
cloak and dagger. Yeah, there's a bit of that as well.
Going in with like such a different approach, what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced in the beginning?
Well, I think for Besser & Co, I mean, I did have the option to open a franchise, you know, where everything was set up for you, the marketing, the websites, all that sort of resource. So by opening up a independent that nobody had heard of, I think for me, the biggest challenge, which I didn't realize would be a challenge, by the way, and I learned very quickly that it was getting on the shopping list for vendors, for landlords, and also for good quality staff. You know, being front of mind to be called in to sell a home or to manage somebody's rental property, or even for somebody looking to get into real estate to even consider Besser & Co, that was really my biggest challenge. Once I got in front of a client or a potential new employee, generally, you know, I could motivate them, I convince them, or show the points of difference that Besser & Co had. Once I got in front of them, I had a very good chance of closing. But getting in front of them was probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah, because I mean, back then we were only just starting with things like social media and starting with digital marketing. Like you didn't have all those advantages back then. So if you were starting an agency today, what would your approach look like that would be different?
Oh, you've had so many people on your podcast who are probably going to say the same thing as me, and that is really just exposure. You know, just showing people in your community, in your network, that you are knowledgeable in this particular area. And if in 2009, we did have Facebook, right? But I don't think people used it as a resource to find a real estate agent or to find any particular service. I think it was just a resource for us all to connect and find friends at that particular moment. But in hindsight, if I had just through social media communicated the experiences that I was having in the industry, in the market, and showing people that we were knowledgeable in our area of expertise, I think that would have made a huge difference to our business.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how has your vision for the company evolved since you started? What sort of a role has you, because you've grown quite a big team too, I think. I don't want to say the wrong number, but
we're around 20 now. We're around 20. You know, up until 2022, we had 8. And overnight, through acquisition, we went from 8 to actually 24 overnight. On the 8th of February 2022, it will be a day that I remember for the rest of my life, I can assure you. And just throwing myself into that position where I'm now need to manage a significantly bigger team. Yeah, there's been a lot of lessons learned. So to go back to your question, I suppose, what has changed? I think the mission's still the same. The mission is remains to provide genuine good quality advice that you know bears the best result for our clients, essentially. But I think what's changed the most is how we go about that. And I would have to say that probably for the first 8 or 9 years, I didn't really get the team involved in day-to-day decisions around the type of service, how we provide that service, and the values that we want to portray in that type of service. But definitely in the last, I would say, 6 years, I have been collaborating with my team on various things like systems, procedures, values, culture. And that was always a dream of mine, by the way. It wasn't my mission, but a personal, I suppose, goal for myself was to surround myself with talented and good quality people, people who were driven and want to do things really, really well. And as the business started to grow and I started to attract and have some really, really good people around me, I really enjoyed collaborating with them. And I continue to do that today.
I can't resist asking you, like you said, that the February the 8th has just burnt into your brain, you know, that it's a day you'll never forget. Tell me what was unforgettable about that day, because I'm sure there will be people out there that will relate to whatever it is.
I've done this to myself a few times, but this was probably the biggest moment that I'd ever thrown myself into in my real estate career. And, you know, you get good advice from good mentors, I suppose, and they make you do silly things like grow, right? And I just remember day one standing in front of a whole bunch of new people and me telling them that we've now taken over the business. And all of a sudden I was coming in with new systems and new procedures. And, you know, and I made it very clear to the team, the new team members, which was the large majority of the business, by the way, that things were going to change. But I didn't make the changes too quickly. I sort of sat there for about 6 months and I watched everybody operate and move around the office. And I've still got bits of paper where I counted the hours that people were looking for keys, you know, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like I literally still got that paper where I was trying to figure out why is it taking you 2 hours to look for a key, down to those smallest little tasks. That first week or first month, I should say, just throwing myself in amongst a team that had never met me with the intention of basically changing everything that they were doing on in their day-to-day business.
Such a big job too when you're sort of dealing with so many new people who aren't used to working with you, and amazing job to have come this far.
You know, it's one thing to be a good real estate agent and build trust with your clients really quickly, your landlords and vendors and buyers and whatnot, but another to be able to build that same level of trust with your team members. And that's what I had to learn to do quickly.
So let's talk about building an effective team, particularly through something that is very close to the heart of every agent, which is rewards, whether it be commission or awards, a lot of those in this industry. So let's talk about your approach to team building, because I know you're quite passionate about things like values and things like that. So first of all, when you're hiring new agents, what skills do you prioritize? And how do you work out if a person's going to fit with those skills?
Most of the skills that we have in real estate, whether it be property management, whether it be admin or sales, a lot of those skills can be taught. You know, what I've learned in the last couple of years is I always start with the values: trust, loyalty, openness, accountability, driven. If you're accountable and you're driven, it means you're somebody who wants to learn, who wants to challenge themselves, and who's going to be open to constructive criticism. We do personality tests here with all of our new staff that come into the business. And the personality test is not there to criticize their personality. It's there to see how they take the feedback when it's given to them before they start. And if they're open to going, okay, here are my weaknesses, let's work on that, then that's the sort of value, that's the sort of person, the attitude that I want to have in my business. If they're not somebody who can take some level of constructive criticism, they're probably not going to fit into our culture here at Best & Co, because we are a team who are driven to continuously improve on what we're doing and evolve. They say that if you're not evolving, you're dying. So I start with the values more than the skills. I think the skills largely can be taught.
So can you share a bit of an example of how you've helped somebody new come into the business and taught them the ways of Besser & Co.? And, you know, and maybe even sort of like, because you've had quite a lot of top performers in the business too, and we know quite a lot of them as well. But can you share an example of how you'd approach that?
Growing a newcomer for me is simpler now than it used to be. The way I've gone about it and the vision that I've had for being able to build people is making sure that our best practices are really, really clearly documented. How best to communicate to a vendor during an auction campaign or a private sale campaign, how to conduct a rent review, what level of communication should you have with your landlord while doing a rent review or a vacate or an ingoing. Having a clear document on best practice that is constantly growing and evolving, by the way. You know, so I think, you know, what I loved as a young person coming into real estate is that I had some incredible people around me guiding me on how to do things. None of it was documented, unfortunately. But just for me to have somebody go from reception into property management is very, very simple now, or from leasing into sales, because I've got best practice documented. And of course, there are going to be variations, you know, the client, the timing, the situation, there'll be small variances which we can guide them through and they'll get experience along the way. But having that basic best practice on how to do something is probably what we've developed here that allows us to build our team now.
So just a little question about that. How do you identify best practice? So, you know, is it when something sort of, some people say that they'll document something after it's worked successfully twice. You know, what are your criteria for sort of going, all right, check, that one's got to go into the playbook, mm-hmm. kind of thing?
For the last 5 or 6 years, I've now had the privilege of being able to collaborate with some really, really good people. Having that basic system or procedure is where I started, and then discussing it with the team. Because it's one thing for me to be able to follow a particular system or procedure and the way I interpret what I've put down in those tasks. But it's another to have 21 other individuals interpret it in the same way. So interpretation and collaboration is really the key. And like I said, our systems and procedures evolving. If we see there's a gap or somebody identifies a problem or a problem occurs, we look back to it's either the system, the resources, and hopefully not the staff member, the resources, the system, and that's what we look at and make sure that they've got the resources and the systems and making sure that we're constantly updating them if we need to.
Yeah, amazing. Let's talk about reward systems, because like I said at the top of the show, I think this is an area where you're not just very good at it, but also very passionate about talking about it. So it's not all about money, right?
Intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. That's an interest, the psychology around what we do.
What motivates people. So just for the uninitiated, can you like give us a bit of a definition of what you refer to as an extrinsic reward? Mm-hmm. And what you refer to as an intrinsic reward.
All right. So I'll just preface by saying that I read a book a few Christmases ago called The Game Changer. And what they did is they analyzed the psychology around video games. And what was it about video games that made people lose and come back and lose and come back and lose and come back? That constant repetition of failing, essentially, but having that desire to continue playing over and over and over again. And they narrowed it down to intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. So extrinsic motivation is the rewards that you get from doing what you do. It could be your bonuses, it could be your wages, it could be your commissions, it could be the awards, it could be the number of sales. Extrinsic is the rewards that you get from doing your day-to-day job. The intrinsic is the enjoyment that you get from, I suppose, the challenge. Right. So in our particular instance, the intrinsic motivation that we try to breed here is, you know, the culture, the values of our team members, the support from our team members, the environment that our team members are in is the intrinsic motivation that people have desire to come back every single day. So having that balance between the reward and the feeling you get from doing your day to day is really, really important. And it's a very fine line. And it's something that we have not mastered yet, but it's definitely evolving and has evolved dramatically over the last couple of years.
I remember that book, actually, The Game Changer. It was by one Dr. Jason Fox, who he had an elite retreat 1 year. And if anyone's listening to this remembers, we did have him on the podcast. And it was really interesting how, you know, gamification fits into some of my courses just to keep people motivated to finish it. You know, so like it appears everywhere. But how do you tell with a particular person? Because, you know, like, let's say for me, you know, like I sometimes feel like, well, you know, to earn money, I could go and get a job. I could do all of these sorts of things. But I guess what keeps me motivated as a lead agent is the ability to help one person and then the next person and the next person. How do you actually pinpoint with your team, you know, what is going to work for them? Because we're all quite different.
We're all completely different, right? And we've all got different things that motivate us, you know. And I think over the last couple of years, what we've tried to do is really get an understanding as to what is motivating our team, but at the same time, trying to build a model that really works for as many of our team members as possible. And it really does start, I mean, this does not work if your team members have the wrong values, right? So it really does start at the interview process, because you could have a fantastic system or a fantastic, I suppose, strategy for culture and for reward. But if those particular team members don't fit into the values of the business, then it's not going to resonate with those sort of people. So it really does start with having the right people, the right values. And you need to have that documented. You need to know what your values are to factor that in when you're interviewing people. I'm going to say that we have built a great culture and at the same time broken that culture not too soon after that. And we did that almost on purpose. I read The Game Changer, and that drove me to set up a series of KPIs, rewards for a property management team, which is still a larger team today than our sales team. And what I realized, I mean, through that process, we had fantastic extrinsic motivation. People were absolutely motivated to come in and do their rent reviews and get client reviews and to do their routine inspections and do all those day-to-day things that our property management team needed to do. But then what I realized was that as a result of some of those team members not having the right values, although the culture was great, people were really happy to come to work because we had the extrinsic down pat, I realized that the standards weren't quite there. So what I did is I set out to change the person, or to really bring in somebody as head of department in property management who was a career head of department and somebody with, you know, over 20 years experience in that particular part of the business. And pretty much within a month or two, that broke our culture. Because what we were doing is we were increasing those standards, changing that extrinsic motivation, not realizing that extrinsic was the basis for our culture, rather than people coming into work and enjoying the people around them. Now, in the last 12 months, 14 months, we've almost replaced almost everyone in our property management department. And I can say with confidence that I believe we've now got a really good mix between extrinsic and intrinsic. People come into our office now because they enjoy the people that they're around and the values that they hold. But we've also got a really good standard. We've increased our standards incredibly. I mean, if you look at net promoter scores, you know, we're reaching 60 plus almost every quarter. And then we've obviously got the extrinsic, you know, people are hitting their KPIs. We've got a really good standard in the office. And because the standard in the office is really great, they're getting the extrinsic reward as well, because they're getting the bonuses that they want to achieve. So it's something that I've learned about, I've tried, I've broken, and I've had to rebuild as well.
I've had a go at introducing KPIs a couple of times, and I'll be really transparent here with you. It's probably one of the hardest things that, you know, we've done over the years, is sort of say, okay, your money is now tied to some North Star metrics in this business, which might be number of page views, it might be like time on site, that like our metrics are quite different to yours. Usually when I do that, whoever it is leaves. How do you feel like if you were giving me some advice, let's say, about bringing KPIs into a business without losing people along the way?
Well, the question you've got to ask yourself is, are you losing people who don't necessarily believe in the values that you want to believe? And values do change over time, by the way. For me, I would argue I probably didn't have my values documented and communicated well enough to my team members when my business grew from 8 to 24 overnight. And if I had communicated some of those values earlier on, I probably would have